Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Our favorite time of the week.
High school sweethearts turned married couple with two kids.
Join us for a conversation on life, parenting, marriage, and more.
Welcome to Close Enough.
Do you get allergies?
Like outdoor allergies?
Yeah.
I don't pay attention to it.
I feel like this is the allergy season.
I don't take a Claritin or anything like you're supposed to. I just treat it with like a little Sudafed, like you dry it up, you get a little medicine head.
I just know, like, all the people around me start going through the allergies, stuff's blooming, grass is being cut.
Oh, my mom will tell you, like, you call Teresa right now.
It's never affected me ever.
Right.
Which, knock on wood.
She will tell you, like, I don't even know, like.
Pollen's high today.
The pollen's high. There's a.
It really messes with people, but I've never.
And I don't say this lightly because I know there are people and there are people with children who have very,
oh yeah,
very serious allergies that just totally screws them up. And admittedly, Kentucky is one of the worst places like for allergies.
Would you ever take one of those allergy tests? Food allergies where they prick you 85 times on your back? And
I'm afraid they're going to tell me like I shouldn't have something that I really love and I don't want to live like that.
At this point in your life though.
Just keep on.
We've managed. To get
keep
through
on,
it.
Keep it on. Your daughter just asked me if I'm still going through menopause.
Are you still going through it?
As I was walking down the stairs.
Are you still going through it? Have you started
I'm
it?
Not even in it. I'm in like perimenopause, self-diagnosed, but she was like, oh, are you being for real right now? It's like, I don't even know where you're going with this.
So when you hit menopause, no more periods, right? Like you.
I guess that's where she was going with the,
all
I don't know.
Your last egg is flew the coop.
No, I think that's when you're finally out.
That's
of
what menopause. That's the eggs. The Easter bunny hides everybody's last egg. On the old people's last egg.
I think isn't like a fertility goddess.
I don't know.
The Easter bunny. The Easter, it's like based on some pagan. The whole Easter thing.
Easter's
is like,
based on pagan.
It's very pagan. Very.
Your
fertility.
Damn ex-evangelical TikTok bleeds over. I swear.
Yes.
We see the same. We get fed the same TikToks almost at the same time.
Sometimes, yeah.
So weird.
I
but they're
going to
ban
realize.
It, so we're going to.
Do you know how Wi-Fi works?
Can it? How? What else can it connect to? I was gone and people were talking about. Some professionals adamant about TikTok, the privacy issues and how it's like, what are you going to get from me? Is it the marketing data? You're afraid they're sending me things that I want to buy? That makes it easy on everybody.
Capitalism, I feel like that's our
But they don't know
jam.
That I'm poor and I can't buy it anyway. Like, what do you,
best
what's the
case
goal
scenario,
here?
I start a folder called gardening.
Yeah.
And I'm making a list of 1,000 things I think I'm going to do.
I just
and I
never
won't.
Thought. Now, if I work in the world intelligence community, I probably want to have
like,
a burner phone for TikTok.
Time out. Yes, I feel like we have precursor security in place that, like, generally we aren't like jumping on the TikTok. If we are working in like world or national security, I don't
or
think
maybe that's
we're not on the OnlyFans midday while we're also scrolling through.
Oh, we're not.
Whatever
is that front?
Whatever, like high profile security things, and we're just toggling back and forth on the same computer. I just feel like that's not a thing anyway.
What are they going to steal
maybe
from,
I'm wrong.
From us? What privacy?
I don't know. You get nothing from me. I
tell you what, the staleness of. Our internet searches. Sometimes I got some wild ones, but usually comes from a meme, and I don't know what it means, and I have to look it up.
And you have to Google it?
I have to Google it.
It is wild what I probably Google in a day, and how many tabs I have open. I have 32 right now. Soil, bales, Disney Junior now, funding for special needs, adaptive equipment.
You're trying to get a grant or something?
I don't know. I'm seeing Natural Bridge, Montgomery County. Oh, I was doing.
But none of those were active at the same time. You weren't doing all at the same time.
No. These are just
it's like
all
your emails. You just don't delete and close out. You just open a new one and start over.
Yeah. I mean, nothing. Here's me Googling the quote from Jack Black. I've got a hangover. That doesn't mean you're drunk. No, I was drunk yesterday. Yeah. Like I've got that Googled.
I think you used that 2 weeks ago when we got back from Nashville. Yeah. So that,
that I have 2 weeks worth of tabs opened up right now. So yeah, that's just on my Google. I can't even on the Safari. Do you still use Safari?
No, nobody should use Safari. I was sitting at a table. This is no lie.
Are we not using it anymore?
I was sitting at a table with two professionals, very successful men.
Okay. Like, in what capacity professionals? Professional what? Give me something
they
else.
They are middle-aged security professionals. I'll just say that. Okay, I don't want to add
that's
them.
Good. That's
but
good.
But if he hears this, he'll know I'm talking about
it. Okay. That's fine.
As he should.
Okay.
And he said, did you know you could do this? And he's on Safari, and he goes to the private tab. He's like, I can look at my bank account and stuff on here and not worry about it being. I said, first of all, bro, what the fuck are you doing on Safari? I said, second
Safari.
Of all, those private tabs are for private things, like naked women.
I was going to say, nobody says no. I use the private tab for bank account.
Let me log into my bank account. There's an app for your bank account, buddy.
It's like the men who, it's like the old white guys who are interviewing the TikTok guy. They're like, well, all I see on my algorithm is naked women and underage girls dancing. Sir.
That's what you're looking for. That's what you're looking for.
That's on you.
Speaking of TikTok.
How much sun should a garden get? That was my last search on Safari.
All of it. I get off the plane, Dallas, Fort Worth, turn the corner at the terminal, American Airlines. If you hear this, follow me on TikTok. There he stands, the man himself, Justin Danger Nunley.
Listen.
Just post it up like to people in line to get on the plane. He's just chilling, standing there. Nobody's bothering him. And so it goes to my head. Either
so
he's
question. You how confident you see him? Because here's my thing.
I know his tattoos. I know what he looks like. He's got his hat turned back. He's wearing the exact same thing you saw him in TikTok.
Okay. You know his tattoos?
Yeah, I see his
see,
three or
so
four
TikToks.
So
much more observant than me. I am absolutely confident. There are famous people around me, and I would have
no clue.
He was
at the NASCAR race that weekend. I guess he was going home.
And that you knew that. Like, I would have
I saw it on TikTok.
Like, there is just a small handful of people that I could run into and be 100% sure that's them. He's not one of them.
Yes, you would know him.
I don't think I would, just standing in an airport. I don't think I would. I know my brain. I know my brain. Or I'd be like, is that him? And I would talk myself out of it. Nah.
No.
But you were 100% confident.
100% confident.
And you go right up and you're like, hey, Justin.
I said, hey, man, you look a lot taller on TikTok. And he looks at me and says, Matt, that's I'm a fan, appreciate it. Shook his hand and rolled on.
You insulted him. Your first out the gate was.
And he smiled.
Because what's he going to do?
Okay, he's a man, okay? If it was a woman, I'd have said something nice. If it's a man,
what,
hit
nice
him with
tits? Like, is that where you're going to go with that one? If it was a woman?
Ma'am. Your nipple showing.
You should have got a pic at least.
I'm not that guy. Like, I don't have any. I've met a lot of famous people. I don't have very many pics.
You've met a lot of famous people.
If anything, they should be wanting a picture with me.
Right, yes. I'm shocked he didn't ask you.
It's, hey, man. No.
Do you know who I am?
If you ever have to say that, that answer is probably no.
You've asked and answered. Well, I'm glad you're home, though, because Don't leave again when there are multiple things on the calendar. We're going to...
Oh, I am. In 4 weeks.
What's on the calendar in 4 weeks?
Another track meet.
Oh, my God. I can't do it. Like, I'm... Whew, I could cry thinking about it already.
Yeah.
It was rough. It was rough without you.
This was the smooth...
Like,
I'm still learning the how to travel.
Right.
We don't in a that very precise time, yeah. So I knew I wanted to do direct both ways, and so I'm not. And then I, instead of staying an extra day.
Yeah, you said last time you were going to.
We cut it back to the day which, you know, if your engagement, like my engagement was till 4 o'clock. I thought, you know, if I just get an evening flight, my flight left at 8:40, which was actually 9:40.
Then,
home time. Yeah.
On the night
and going
of,
back and forth through after just doing daylight savings time.
Yeah.
In central time and then that and then going back to it 2 weeks. Oh man, it's awful.
Well, I love you, but
there's a butt coming here.
I would say that your daylight saving central time adjustment was a little easier than the shit show that ensued.
It was just the track meet, though, right? The day before
no,
was fine.
So, Monday, we started out strong. Like, I go into a really weird...
I handled all my obligations per usual before I left on Monday.
What do you mean?
I took Harlan to school.
Oh. Well, okay. So, the other kink in all of this is we're getting a new babysitter. And I know this is odd, but I do... Like, I clean house complete. Like, I want my house clean and... I have friends that will absolutely uphold and support me in this.
Women. There's no men that would be like,
that's not
oh,
true.
Yeah.
I don't think that's true.
Men, let's hear your voices.
To the extent, like, when I say, like, I want my house clean, like, we, at any point, just, there is, Gary eats popsicles, and...
I need to go to Popsicles Anonymous.
It's the flavor ice ones that you clip the top of it off. So you almost get to the trash can, but they fall out.
Hold up, it's a high percentage that they go in.
And so, like,
it's not 100%.
Just the melted array of popsicles around the trash can. I got to, like, clean that up because that just looks dirty and it attracts ants. Like, that's just dirty. So, you know, I've cleaned the house. I wake up early Monday because Harlan's kind of got a new schedule, you know. And
well, there's been no schedule yet,
right? And I gotta, you know, kind of,
it's a new day,
send a few texts. And so Monday actually went well because I was, you know, we had a plan. Like, it was all new. We had the babysitter, everything was fine. I even cooked supper. Like, I came home and prepared a meal, and Gary's like, oh, what's this?
I leave and you start cooking.
Well, it was the one night we were going to be home together, and the next night gets a little trickier, not as bad.
Because Charlie's gone. She's
Charlie had her state tournament for mock trial, by the way.
State champ. Not her team, but...
But the group that she's a part of, like, she's the JV, the varsity, I guess, is state champs, if put into sports terms. But I decided Harlan had to have a haircut. He didn't... Gary took him last time, and they couldn't fully finish the haircut because he threw such a bad fit over the hair getting on
him. Doesn't
him.
Like the haircut. And I don't blame him. It is
no,
weird.
No, but we were kind of over that. And then that has been a new...
Well, Debbie spoiled him.
Yes. But, I mean, we have taken him to great clips and have had good moments. But he just, for whatever reason, recently just can't fulfill the complete haircut. And so, picture day for him was Thursday. He just needed one. He looked rough.
He's a little bushy.
So I've done the whole thing of prepping him Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. We're going to get a haircut. Not, like, we made a plan.
And he generally is down for, in theory, he wants to go.
There's this thing with him right now that when he's home, he's home.
He's like his mom.
When we come home, we take our shoes off. We're done for the day. He doesn't want to get back out. I was like, okay, we're going to get a slushie. Still not buying. I'm like, McDonald's too? I mean, it took a lot of negotiation, and there was a wait that kind of sucked, but the haircut didn't go super well. There was a fit going into the haircut place, like laying in the floor screaming, because he wants to watch, like, crazy ass YouTube videos with, like, I don't know, like faces are melting off and then you see a skeleton or something. I don't know. It's weird.
Who gets that from you?
And I'm trying to get that. It's not cussing or anything.
It's just weird.
It's just weird. And I'm not so, I don't know. Sharing his super weird with other people is hard. But we got like, it was a freak out. We made it. We got slushy. We got McDonald's. We came home. We were both done. And I was so tired.
Those things are an energy drain though.
They are. Like I had a stack of papers to grade. I promised I would give these back the next day. And I just went and laid in bed and just kind of zoned out, exhausted. But I also had to be awake because I want to be awake for Charlie, who just experiences. I mean, regardless of whether it's her team or not, she's a part of the state champion thing. They got escorted in by the police, like into town. Like
I think that's getting a bit much.
It's still exciting though. Like there are very few people who can.
The bass fishing. Were we going to escort the boat in?
They did.
I know they did. That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm like, come on.
It's a big deal. Like, you are the best in the state at this thing. And so I wanted to be awake because I knew her thing was going to be come in and be excited. Mm-hmm. And I'm literally hanging on for dear life, wanting to fall asleep. And I'm like, stay awake, stay awake. So I get through that. We start it over. We've got one more day. And Charlie has a
This is my travel back day.
Charlie has a track meet, and I'm so happy. It's beautiful weather. My mom's been with Harlan all day. They've done a Walmart trip, so he hasn't sat at home all day.
Shout out to his babysitter money Tuesday. Yes,
she kept him.
That may be the thing. He may have a case of the lazy ass going on. That very much. He's had more physical activity in this week alone, including today.
Yeah, been a long time.
And we got to get him in shape for Disney.
We do.
But go
ahead. We do. So I come home. I'm really tired. And I'm like, okay, I got it. Charlie has a track meet. I'm not 100%. I just know that this track meet didn't go well last year. But
so looking back, it's not the same track meet. They still have that other track meet that didn't go well on a Tuesday night.
So this is what's called an all-comers meet. And that does nothing to my brain at all. But what that means is anybody, you can enter, but essentially you can enter as many people into an event as you want. We were at a school. It's huge. I mean, there's a roundabout going into the school with like signs telling you which part of the campus to go to. And after we're running late, technically, she says the event has already started and she throws discus first. Not great at that. So I'm like not rushing to get there. And she knows that and she's fine. We have to walk forever to get to where she is throwing. And I am grossly underprepared. I think I'm doing great because I have brought not one but two chairs. And I brought a few snacks. Not many because I promised the kids Chick-fil-A on the way home. Thinking we're going to get in there. We're going to throw. We're going to push Harlan's bedtime by an hour or so. I did not bring enough snacks. It's colder than what I thought it was going to be. I did pack some hot hands, thank God.
I know, I saw them in the back of your car.
They saved our lives. And Mom bought Harlan like some Easter candy. I tossed that in a bag and a bag of Cheetos, and that was it. Like, it was not enough food and a couple waters. We had to park like almost a half mile away. So yes, my lazy ass kid, like, he couldn't make it. At one point, though, I was like, let's walk on the fluffy grass. And he goes, no, let's crawl. And so I'm a puppy. And so he's crawling on the way in. And I'm like, that should have been my clue. This is not going to go well. He starts crying because he wants to go into the school. We can't go into the school. We finally get there. There is kettle corn. Like, it looked like a festival. There were so many people. Somebody selling jewelry. There were people everywhere. The Kona ice truck set up, and
it's like a festival.
I just said that. You're not even paying attention to me. And we get to the bathroom.
I was trying to find the track schedule to see if that's the one you're gonna be at when I'm gone.
No, it probably will be, and I won't go. She just will have to ride the bus home, or somebody will have to bring her home. I'll sign a note. But we get into the bathroom, and that's where his meltdown starts, because he wanted to go to the stall by himself, and I was just too nervous. And it's one of those bathrooms, like, you know, that you know, in like big open bathrooms where they just turn the corner, there's no door on it, right? You can just walk right in. And like, if he got out, I'm screwed, you know? So I had no...
And he's usually not the...
But at elusive. This meet, he's already like crying because he doesn't want to go into the bathroom. Like, yeah. That was number one. So we fight in the stall, and it sounds like I'm abusing him, but really he's like beating up on me to try to escape. And I'm holding him by, thank God, his hood, just trying to like pee and get out of there. And we go out and he just flails, like just lays down flat and just refuses to move, and screaming and yelling and hitting my foot. And I just see people like
staring,
trying to avoid him, and like instant tears, you know? Thank God that one of Charlie's friends shows up. And he was like hugging on her. Like, it was just enough change of pace to kind of get, let him breathe. We are still significantly far away from where Charlie's going to throw. So I still have to go past a tennis court with people on it, a Kona ice truck, and bleachers with three different sets of stairs.
You got to go through all the things.
To get to this place. Well, this track meet kept going on and on and on. The only saving grace was that I noticed that on the perimeter of the, after we've sat and we finally got him calmed down, I turned on my hotspot, we play some YouTube, he has my phone, he has his device, and he's chilling out. Because I'm pissed at this point. Thinking, okay, well, Charlie's going to throw any minute now. Well, they had three heats of shot put. We weren't even close to getting her to throw. But I see these people on the perimeter sitting in this parking lot of the school, and I get my phone back, I drop a location pin, and I put it in my maps, and I tell Charlie I'm gonna figure out how to get back there and sit in the car with him. And I'm like, I don't know if this is, because it has like private driveway written on it, and I'm like, I don't care, I will play the desperate mom card if anybody tries to kick me out. Because I'm just trying at this point to, like, be present for her. Be, you know, keep him alive. And not have him have a meltdown. But it just kept progressing.
Sure about a handful of melatonin.
But where am I? Like, that's the thing, though, Gary. He's so big that if he passes out and goes to sleep, I can't pack him. Very few people can for any length of time. So it's not like when he was you got a baby, a fussy baby, you can throw him in the car seat and take him for a stroll. Like, he's a grown-ass kid. So, you know, and that's one reason why I went and found a place to park, because I kept thinking he started staring about 7:30 into the...
Like, you thought he was going to fall asleep.
I was like, oh my God, if he falls asleep, we're screwed. I would never get him back up to that place. And I can't, like, drop him off and go pull the car around, you know?
Yeah. Wait, I thought you were in the car.
Well... 7:30 at 7:30 we're still sitting outside, and that's when I'm like, this is getting ready to go bad. So that's when I like had to make a decision to get out of there.
It's his bedtime anyway, so.
Right, and Charlie still hasn't thrown. It's dark. It is pitch black dark, and she still has not thrown. They end up letting her throw one time. They screw around long enough. They let her throw once. They're like, everybody's going to throw one time. So we waited. She got her throw in. I go and pick her up. The one thing I promised, Chick-fil-A is closed. Then Harlan wants McDonald's.
I'm landing about this time.
Yeah. Yeah. Gary could have, quite frankly, almost beat us home had he not flown. If he flown into Lexington, he would have beat us home.
Yeah.
It was awful.
I started the meet in Dallas.
Yeah. Yes. And I am in such, like, to be there and be present. I know probably to retell it, you're like, it doesn't sound that bad, but I promise. Like, to be in that moment, it felt like shit, because I was losing my patience with him. And it's one of those moments where, like, you're mindful of, like, be patient. But you're just like, get your ass up. And like, I'm not saying that to him, obviously, but I am, like, not using my most patient self. And so that's frustrating to me that.
Well, do nobody. If it was me, I'd have cut my losses at 7 o'clock and be like, all right, Char, I'll come pick you up.
But I'd have to get him back out, you know, like. How would I do that? Like, it's still, you know, and...
I think it would have been less traumatizing to try to get him back out.
Right. But also, I wanted to be there for her because she has had a shit day. I wasn't at the state, you know, I wasn't present for the state thing, even though she wasn't competing.
Right.
But I'm trying to choose her too.
Yeah.
You know?
I get that. And you did. I mean, you were there. It wasn't like you didn't go.
Right. But to cut my loss and leave would have been like, your brother's more important right now. His bedtime's more important than what you're doing. I got to go. I mean, I really didn't even see her throw discus because it was so far away from the shot put place. And I couldn't get there too because I wasn't about to take him to the infield. Not even.
She just needs to be in better spectator sports. Swim and track are not great spectator sports.
So, well, I mean, if she ran, you just go sit in the bleachers and watch. But anyway, it was a rough night. Very, very rough night. I was just pissed and angry and hurt. We were all mad at each other. I think everybody on the way home cried like twice over something different. It was very frustrating. I think at one point Charlie starts crying because Harlan's crying. And then I want to cry because everybody's crying.
I didn't want to cry.
Right. And so I'm trying to convey this to Gary. And I don't think it's not either registering with him or he's just trying to fix it from afar. And so he's like trying to like be all lovey to me. And I'm like, I want to just waller in my anger, and I need you to either be angry with me or like leave me the hell alone. Like, I don't know how to.
I did try to space myself and just let you be.
I don't. It's so when I get that far gone in my anger, and I don't know if it's my Enneagram 4 feelings thing, I want to burn the whole world down, and you better be fucking standing there with matches ready to burn it with me.
I wasn't standing there.
And you weren't quite ready to burn the world. You were just like, it's okay. You did buy me a massage.
I did get her a massage.
I'm so grateful, and I will be so happy on Thursday when I get that massage. Oh, what time? Ooh.
2:00.
Eee, that's messing with our timeline. All right. Anyway, we'll talk about that after this podcast.
Yeah. You just had to back things up earlier and then maybe come back home.
All right. Anyway. So I'll be so grateful for that. I know it. At that moment, though, I cannot see past my frustration and disappointment and shame and anger to want to. I wasn't ready to come out of it. And you are very much the type that will, like, that's not your reaction. You're ready to like quickly fix it and move on. Or
I told you, sometimes you just gotta you can't have everything.
You're right. I mean, I don't disagree with that, but I just 100% felt in my heart that day, I had to be present.
Yeah.
And it failed. It felt so bad.
We gotta find a good pool of babysitters.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, I guess that would have been the best solution to have a babysitter. But shit, that babysitter had been staying for a long ass time that night. But the good thing is he sleeps after.
Yeah, he's in bed.
He's in bed by 7:30. No matter how hard we tried to keep him awake tonight.
We went to a retirement party and had the babysitter come, and then Charlie was going to be coming home from a party too. And by the time Charlie got home, Harlan was asleep. So
yeah,
Charlie dismissed the babysitter.
Yeah,
after like 2 hours.
I'm pretty good once everybody's kind of settled and asleep. I think Charlie's fine. When we're further away, I do prefer someone to be here, like they can drive. That makes me a little bit more safe. Not to say like anything horrible is going to happen, but
I had a good trip. I've never been to Texas.
I felt so bad the next day too, because Wednesday was your presentation day, and I was in such a rush to get home because at 4:00 I was taught. My mom was home. I was kind of hearing about how Harlan had the day, went for the day. I also was on a Zoom call and trying to prep to go to the track meet. And so I had really not got to talk to Gary at all. Like, I left school immediately. And I felt so bad. Also, the other pylon was I hadn't asked you about how your presentation went and hadn't really heard the details of it all. So I felt bad.
He could have went any other way, but amazing.
I knew it would be good. I just didn't know if they, like, signed a deal with you to be, like, a traveling speaker at that point.
I mean, I kind of am. I got at least two more, or three more, actually.
Two more gigs.
Got three more after this last weekend.
But it went well. It went really good. Because it was a bit, you had to present for an hour or some shit?
Hour and a half.
That's so long. That is ridiculous.
So, also, I had to follow up a guy who was very, like, his content was pretty good, but it was only good for about 30 minutes, and he went for 2 hours because.
God. I just can't listen to anything.
A couple things I brought up. I think presenters need intro music. Like professional wrestlers.
Agree. I think teachers need the same thing. I 100% agree with this. What would be your song?
Probably Stone Cold entrance.
Just crush a beer.
Especially when I was in Texas.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So you would change it up for the crowd. Okay.
Oh, yeah. You gotta play. It was a lot of low. I was in Texas in front of majority Texans.
Yeah.
Talking about Kentucky. They not quite. I mean, there's some similarities, but
Texans are very adamant about.
So I had this plan in my head, right? I was going to do an hour of my content, and then after an hour, let's be honest, nobody. And I'm right before lunch, and we had the best conference lunch. We had fajitas that were official Tex-Mex out of from a. They were just the bomb. I was like, holy shit, this is the best I've ever had.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Right, day one went, and it was like, also, I was listening to industry people talk about law enforcement. I'm like, hey, we're in the room, you know? So
I was the first
law enforcement person to talk. And so I kind of got to, so.
Did you get up there and be like, at me next time, bitch? No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, y'all talking all this junk. I'm still like, all right, wait till tomorrow. But. So in my head, you know, you go to teacher things, and maybe it's different, but like I got one guy, and you met him, Jeff Hall.
Yeah.
Amazing man. Like I truly, if there was like a mentor who takes the time out to give me pointers, like he even after my presentation said, man, that was great. This is what I would do if I was you next time.
Nice.
I was like, yes.
I love that.
Generally just a sweet man. I think he has a crush on Abby. He told me at least 3 times how beautiful she was. And I was like, yeah, she is. What of it?
You said that?
Yeah. Of course. Okay. But so in the,
it'd be like, well,
before
she's a
lunch,
bitch.
I thought,
and a nag.
All right, worst case scenario, I don't fill the time, we go on to lunch.
That's best case scenario.
Yeah, like,
for
you know,
my position.
But I've said I got 90 minutes. So I talked with another guy. I was like, hey, I want to do like a little conversation piece.
Little improv, like, extemporaneous.
So I'm talking about struggles and challenges because I got up and I said, hey, everybody wants to get up here and talk about how the great success they had, all this stuff. Nobody talks about the struggles. I said, you all clearly pointed out all of our struggles the first day. So let me go into depth about why we have these and what's going on. So I feel like I did a good job with that. So I talked to the guy, and we'd prep before, like we'd had a phone call before the conference, and that morning we'd got together and I said, you know, let's solve these problems. And he's like, cool. Or at least have a conversation, and maybe it'll spark a conversation. In his words, the guy asked to help me, he said, what you just did was light a match, throw it on some gasoline, and walk away. And I was like, bro, that's the best shit I've ever done in my life.
That's basically how I live my life every day,
because
sir.
The conversation I started, I had to cut it off so we could go to lunch. I was like, hey, this is great.
That's good. I'm so proud of you. That's amazing.
The conversation went through lunch. So many people came up and talked to me. But what did I tell you?
told me you're a prostitute. I'm like, so I have a lot of questions.
I'm like the guy who men don't buy prostitutes for the sex. They pay prostitutes to leave. Right?
I don't even.
You don't like.
Pardon me for not having proper protocol right now on this.
I'm just saying. Please, like, that's the thing. Is
please,
like,
enlighten me. You do the husband.
Act. You pay them. They leave.
Is that how it works? Is that?
That's what I saw it on Taxi Cab Confessions.
Do.
But
any, did you get tested? But, you're in no, Texas. Shit.
No, but what okay. I'm saying is, once I did my thing, like, I'm done. Like, I'm signing off. And all these people coming up to me. And of course, I just talked for an hour and a half with my name on it. And I'm introducing my, saying my name. Like, yeah, we know who you are. And I'm like, bro, I don't know how to do this. Like, what do you want? You know?
What do you want?
And it's great. But
he's a parent.
I'm getting mobbed with, like, people handing me their business cards to tell me who they're from. Mobbed. And it's all this. Like, go. I'm like, I'm hungry. And I appreciate that. And, you know, I'm getting pulled here and there. And the same thing happened in Memphis with me and Steve. We're like, so I knew that was coming. And that's anybody that presents in it.
Oh,
and you find value in what they say, and you want to talk to them.
So just be hyper aware of this now. I do this every day of my life. And even though 3:30 happens and kids can leave, there are still, like, people around me. Like, there's this one kid who comes to my room every day in between classes. And I tell him every day, I like you. I love you. But I need 2 minutes of by myself time to get ready for the next class. And so when I come home, like, that is where my whole, like, disassociation comes from, because I get your prostitute thing. Like, I'm done with peopling. I cannot, like, people anymore.
You know, when you go see a stand up and then they just leave the stage and they're done.
Yeah.
That's.
Yeah. I am like.
But don't get me wrong. I love all the people there. Like, these are my people. And you got to see a little bit of that.
Yeah, yeah. And you can last a lot longer than I could with regard to... I knew as soon as I said that. I didn't even make eye contact with you. Damn it. Like, small-talking people and chatting.
Just tonight, we were in the sauna.
I bailed.
Abby just
it.
Left me in there, and I almost died.
I just felt
stroke.
Like he was getting ready. So in the sauna, it was such a good sauna, too. It was so warm. I was getting there chatting. Some dude comes in. Gary obviously engages with him. Instantly.
I mean, I see him in there all the time. So.
Okay, well, you don't have to talk to him. And, oh, you brought enough water bottles. You're prepared today. Instantly into a tirade on water. Water. Which waters are good, which great, that's fine. Like, it doesn't bother me at all. Like, I have hard feelings.
It feels like I'm getting the impression that it bothers you.
No, it was just, I was like, oh my God, what if he starts talking to me? I don't want to talk.
What if he looks at me? What goes on now?
What if he asks me a question? I am perfectly happy saying no words. And so I just kind of smile and nod. And I'm like, oh, he's going to keep talking and Gary's going to have to entertain him. I was like, I'm going to go stretch, which I did. I really did need to go stretch. And
15 minutes later, I get a text. I'm on my way to the car. This dude's still talking to me. And I'm dying. Like, my eyes right
also,
now are bloodshot.
Also, it was getting a little hot for me too. I had not stayed that long in a while. And I was like, I need water. And my water's not in here. I could have asked homeboy for his water, but I was so nervous too. Like, I get really nervous that I did talk Saturday in the sauna with a person.
That's why I thought you'd be a pro. No, I thought you could hang.
I can't go back to back. I can't people back to back like that. And I was like, oh, what if, like, the conversation goes wild into something and he's like, you know, shitting on public schools or something like that. I'm like, in there I sit. I was like, I gotta go. I gotta get out of here. I just get real nervous. But you handle it, and I assume the conversation was pleasant afterward, but I did bail on you.
Yeah.
But
so, to, you know, our flight left at 8:43. A couple of guys were leaving, same airline, at like 5:30, which would have put us home. I mean, I would have beat you home. I could have stopped at the track meet.
Right.
So I call the airline. I'm waiting, and BJ, who's with me, he's like, "Yeah, let's try to do this. We'll just ride with them instead of getting an Uber or whatever." So I call. It's like a 45-minute wait. So I go back in. They'll call you back. Phone rings. I go out. I was like, hey, I saw there was a departing flight earlier. I was just wanting to know how much it would be to switch, or if there was, you know.
Can they not, like, transfer that? Like, boop, boop.
No. Mm. It was $2,000. I was like, oh.
Never mind.
And she's like, well, I've got this flight
that
leaves
at... Never mind. Screw my family.
I've got this flight that leaves at 4:45, but it goes through Charlotte, and you'll get into Louisville at 11:53. I was like, that's 10 minutes later than the direct flight I'm taking.
That would be a no. That would be a no. The point here is we're saving time. I don't understand.
So I'm better prepared for, because I'm going back to the same airport, same day of the week, leaving on the same day of the week, taking the exact same fucking flight.
Are you going to take the same one home?
Yeah.
No, we're taking an earlier one?
There was no earlier one this time.
What night's the track meet?
Tuesday. It's in Maysville, though.
I'm not going.
It's regionals.
No, it's not. We're missing regionals. Maybe. Maybe it is.
It is. I promise you it's regionals.
What night is it? Give me a date.
Look. I'm sorry. It's Tuesday, May 9th. At Great Crossing All Comers.
I'm not going to an All Comers meet ever again in my life.
I went to Great Crossings last year. I went to that meet last year.
How was it? Am I going to?
Again, the I don't know the money. I walk in, right? I'm texting Charlie. I'm trying to find her. I'm going through by the football field, and I see, like, the practice field's over. I'm like, what are they doing?
Oh, my God.
They were playing lacrosse.
Yes. Yeah, well, there was a kid getting picked up for, like, some sort of lacrosse or field hockey while I was trying to find Charlie.
Yeah.
At this school. Great Crossings is an amazing facility.
It's a monster complex, yeah.
We did that. I did that one with Harlan. I did that one with Harlan.
A kid got – I went to Great Crossing last. I don't know if you went to attract me with him.
No, I did a track meet with him there. But we sat in the we could sit in the bleachers and watch her throw discus, but we had to go sit to watch her do.
Yeah, the shots in the in the corner of the end zone.
Yeah. But still, like,
but it was all
that was another school. There was one school that ran
I had to wait so long. It was a middle school.
Yeah. Yeah, we were in middle school and high school last year. This was a high school.
This was the middle school where they have javelin. So Charlie's done for like 2 hours, but she has to go throw this damn Nerf javelin. And I'm like, what the hell?
I forgot she had javelin.
And she did so good. Like, that was, I think she got third place that night.
We may negotiate a deal on that one. I don't know. We'll have to see. I don't think I can relive that with him by myself again.
No.
It's just too hard. Or go watch her throw discus and leave and tell her to get a ride home. I don't know.
I wish she did shot first, because she sucks at discus.
At our meet, at multiple meets, the girls normally do shot put first, but...
I've never been when they've done shot first. It's always been discus.
So it's been, yeah.
Stupid-ass track.
I like it, though. Like, I like that she's doing it, and it's fun, and track is so inclusive to, like, multiple types of people, and a lot of people can do it.
Yeah, but that's the problem is, a lot of people can do it. You've got two coaches.
Yeah.
You know,
do you remember when I coached track that one year?
Yeah.
It never occurred to me how highly unsupervised we were until I became a coach.
Abby,
I'm know.
Very well, very well versed in how unsupervised we were.
I know. And I'm like, oh my God. And it was middle school. I was coaching middle school. And I'm like, what do you mean? We're just going to let them go. Like, what do I do? And they're like, yeah, they just get on the bus at some point. It was awful.
Yeah.
I was like, I know if there's one thing, I'm not coaching this again. But I was just filling in as a favor. And there are so many things happening at once.
Yeah.
But, you know, and...
Like, one person is basically designated to sign the kids out when they're done. They're not even paying attention to what's going on.
Right,
they're just
right.
signing kids out.
It was so late. There was a kid that they left there. His dad was with him. His dad was with him, but the bus was like, bye.
Toodles.
He was still throwing shot at like 10 o'clock or throwing discus at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, it's...
Like, I am not a fan of this. That is wild. I don't know. I just heard a podcast where Christina P., Tom's wife, she just made the final decision. You know, she's single momming it on the weekends, you know, all the time now. And
yeah, he's gone.
She, you know, she has littles, but she just made the executive decision, like, not to do the extracurriculars. She's like, I'm done. Like, the soccer, and you pack all the things and you get ready to go watch soccer with the supposed, like, I guess the concept, like getting your kids involved in the structure of the sport is, you know, there's so much to learn from sports. And I am a person who infinitely values, you know, the life I have because of being involved in sports. Like, I love it. But at the same time, I just had a conversation with a kid Friday, and she's having this big decision about whether or not she pursues, she can get a full ride that will set her up very nicely if she chooses to play a sport in college. But she's like, I don't know if I want to. And I'm like, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you what my life was like. I don't know. I can never decide if I would go back and change it or not, you know, playing a sport in college. But if you're looking for college to be this one type of experience,
it's not going to be that.
It will not be that. And I don't care what level you play at, what sport you play, it's crazy different if you choose to play that sport. And so we had that conversation. And so Christina, I mean, granted, little kids, and it is wild. I mean, I know I played like rec league soccer and rec league softball and all that stuff. I don't remember it being consuming to our lives.
Well, you've got two kinds of parents, right?
Yeah.
You've got the drop them off, pick them up parents. And then you've got the parents that are living vicariously through these kids from the time they start their athletic career to the end.
Yeah. But I think now, I mean, the fact that like there's even soccer on Sundays, like there's soccer every, like there's a sport, you could play a sport and do it all the time. Charlie could swim every day of her life and compete. Like even after the high school season was over, there was a whole subsection of the private swim team that was doing their state stuff.
Yeah.
Right after that, like you can compete year round.
That's not a, that so many people look to that as the jumping off point to get those scholarships and things.
I just read an article. Nobody that it's cares. Not, it's not. It is.
Yeah, nobody cares.
The likelihood
there ain't no scout coming to.
Well, the likelihood of that getting your kid into the next level or your 8-year-old going pro because you've poured all this time is super, super low. In the structure, but the thing that she made such a valid point that it takes away is the opportunity to let them discover what they want to do or right. what they're good at. And it takes away that opportunity to be bored. And I was bored a lot as a kid. I was.
Well, the world was different then.
Yes. Yes. I sent Gary, there's this TikTok channel that I follow that it's just VHS type footage from the 80s and 90s of like somebody walking through the high school with a VHS. And I almost cry watching it because the interaction of just the nostalgia, first of all, and the clothing and everything, but the interaction of the kids is so different. But even just as a little kid, like I did a lot of sports. My mom kept us busy. I think we did swim lessons every year that we could do it just because she needed us out of the house. But at the same time, we had a lot of downtime to just play and hang out at the house. And like, I like distinctly remember one summer, like you would go call your friends, right? But just sitting on a swing and like hours going by thinking like, am I going to get to do anything today?
Yeah.
will anything come up?
There's nothing on TV to watch. Nothing.
I'm just going to sit here all day long. And like you just have
I've watched every episode of Double Dare or whatever.
But, you know, I found like you find what you're good at, what you can do in the downtime, you know, whether it may not be the sports stuff. You know, I liked, you know, happened to like music and not playing it necessarily, but listening and reading and writing and drawing and doing stuff like that, that What if you got your kid balls to the wall scheduled up every day? How do you know what they like?
Yeah.
How do you know what they can do?
It's like you're dictating it. Yeah. You're dictating what they should like.
Because there's so many things out there that are not a sport they don't have a camp for that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I mean, Charlie wasn't a sportsy kid, so we had to go find other opportunities for her to do things.
Yeah, now we're in swim and track and mock trial. Let me tell you, there's a reason most of that's not televised or, you know.
You're such a dick. It's good. It's good for her. She'll be fine.
Yeah.
She will make it, but would you rather be in like a basketball gym?
Probably. Better concession stands.
I don't know. The concession stand was hot and I had no money. The other thing, I left my wallet in the car to this night. Just the little cherry
on top. Failing to prepare is preparing to fail.
I had my wallet. I just didn't have it in the bag that I took, the shark bag that took everything in. And I legit, Harlan had a meltdown over the kettle corn. I'm like, I don't even think you like kettle corn. But they were taking like, they take debit cards and Apple Pay. And I'm like, how fast could I set up my fucking Apple Pay right now? How fast could I set it up? I don't even know how to do it. And I'm like, do I just go ask these people to Venmo? Can I Venmo you personally right now?
Yeah.
Do you take McDonald's? My credit card is attached to my McDonald's app. I will do anything to get this little shithead to the car. It's not going well.
Oh, and now, for the first time, the Thomases are going to Disney World.
I can't believe we're doing it.
And when you sit down and think after this small ordeal, I talked to a guy, an older man, who said, I walked 22 miles in one day at Disney. And I'm down for it. Like, I've done it. I remember I hit 30,000 steps when Charlie and I went to Universal.
You were doing 75 hard, too, at the same time.
Yeah, so I'd wake up and probably get 10,000 steps before I even got to the park.
So that search for adaptive
wagon.
Literally came that night after.
Did we just give him a wheelchair?
No. Oh my God, that's insulting. Sorry to anybody else. No, they make the, it's a push chair is what you call it, I think.
I don't want to buy it just for Disney.
No. But that's why I was thinking more.
Scooter.
He just gets so wore out. On the way back, he sat down and says, I'm going to sit here for a minute. And I was like, we are so close, man.
Yeah.
And he was like, nope.
We got 3 months to
And he laid down. He laid down. And this woman, I mean, this is now going on like me being there for 3 hours, having a bazillion meltdowns, and this one woman at this point goes, do you need any help? And I'm like, I said, our car is close.
Like, I don't even know who this kid is. He keeps following me. But and I you thought, find the parents.
Thank God you even had just the kindness to look at the probably desperation on my face to just acknowledge the fact we were struggling. But I was like being help, like I was being kind, like patient kind of this moment, like, yeah. Harlan, if you get up, we get to the car faster and we can turn on YouTube. Like, what? Yeah. You can have mommy's phone. You want mommy's phone? Have YouTube until your eyes pop out of your head. I don't care. Just get to the car. Let's go.
Yeah. So I've already been plotting on what the day looks like when we're 2 hours in and he's done and one of us has to go back.
And that's fine. Like, and I can be.
And
that
Abby's
person.
Not a theme park person.
I will absolutely be willing.
Granted, we're close enough. We can go back and forth. Yes. As many as we want on those
Yeah,
days.
That I can take him back as long as like.
And Disney's very good about scheduling things. So it's not like you're just wandering around waiting.
Right.
Like you could go back and you know at a certain time you come back to do whatever.
Yeah. I think this is enough of stuff that he wants. But having him, and this is where our whole divide and struggle with Harlan is right now, is the, this is what we need to do right now, and this is what you want to do right now.
Yeah.
And that is where I'm struggling as a parent, because sure, we could have gone to Kona Ice, but I had no money to buy him anything. We could have walked over there, but he's going to throw a fit. We could have got on the bleachers and walked up and down the stairs 72 million times, but I need to go watch Charlie throw. Like,
yeah.
I don't know where, as a parent, when do I give in to the let's reroute things for you and whatever it is you need versus suck it up, buttercup. This is what we're supposed to be doing. Like, I don't have that balance right now, because what part of that is parenting? What part is he's autistic? What part is he's a shitty ass 5-year-old? There's just a normal
There's a blend of his shittiness.
Just spoiled. He's a spoiled ass who does what he wants most of the time. And now I'm saying, no, we're going to do this. And that boundary it's not like setting a boundary with just your average kid where you can be like, logically, this is why we're doing this. And at some point they come to reason.
Yeah.
To him, he's like, screw you, ma'am. I want to do my thing. And that's all I can see and do and feel.
Also, a big component in all of this is he was on a pretty solid Monday through Friday regimen. And it's completely been blown out of the water.
Right.
And it will continue.
And now we're on spring break. Yeah. And I'm sitting here going, because this mofo is going to wake up at 6:30 going, hey, mom, iPad.
Yeah. You're like, all right, take it, bro. I'm going back to bed.
But I don't want him to be on the iPad all day. Even though, I don't know, that's a whole other issue. Is like,
Once his legit screen time, like where he can't watch YouTube and that stuff, there's a little bit of backlash, and then he becomes this amazing creator.
Yeah.
Which I'm fine with. But
at the same time, he needs to physically move, and
not at 6:30 in the morning.
No. But I want him to not be, you know, I feel like a crap. I guess it's just me. I feel like a crap parent if he's sitting there on, if I look at, like,
the iPad. I mean, like, yesterday morning we woke up, he was in the bed with us, playing on his iPad, we were all chilling.
Right. I don't hate that.
It was a good moment.
You know, and who, you know, if he didn't have the iPad, what would we be doing? Like, we played on the scooter, we do those things.
Yeah.
So I do feel like, do I put some sort of schedule together this week to try to keep him sane, or do I just say fuck it and we just go until somebody falls over, somebody waves the white flag? It will be me first, but and then we try to figure something out. But I mean, the summer, I have to get a plan for the summer too, you know. And the thing is like, you've got a kid who is highly regimented, and then me who's like, I don't want a schedule. I don't want to say that we're going to do something from this time to this time, because what if I don't want to do that?
Yeah.
That's the beauty of, like, I stay regimented all the time, and then I get a couple months where I don't have to be. And I love that. It's a great balance for my personality. Mm-mm. These kids, man.
We do get a little respite this week. We're going to see our cousin Bert.
The machine.
It'll be our third time.
Yeah. I'm excited. I want Leanne to be there. I just want me and Leanne.
Like, I'm really hoping it's Shane Gillies and Mark Norman to open for him.
Oh, my gosh. Do we know, or do you not know?
He's been taking different people.
Yeah.
So
I heard him talking today on his show and how, like, he just, you know, sent messages out to, like, a lot of different people saying, hey, if you want to try to do an arena, like, this is a great way to get arena, you know,
yeah,
the arena experience without, without having to do the hard work of selling an arena.
Yeah.
And, you know, and how different that is.
What Joey Diaz?
Oh, my God. That would be, Joey, isn't he close to us-ish, to Lexington-ish?
Yeah, New Jersey.
Oh, wait, I thought he was in Tennessee.
No.
Did I make that up?
His wife's from Tennessee.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I didn't make that up.
You did. He's never lived there, but.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, we'll get to go with that.
He was talking to Chad Daniels' girlfriend today, and he tried to get Chad Daniels to come.
Did Chad not want to do it?
No, he just has this very specific way that he does things, and he lives in Minnesota now or something like that.
I could imagine doing an arena if you're just used to comedy. Like, we saw him at Comedy Off Broadway, which is...
We've seen, like, a really cool progression of really small Reinman, which is big, but still
it's
not...
You know, it's a few thousand people, and now where he's in a...
He's in Rupp Arena, so... Yeah.
Which I feel comedy's best served in comedy clubs.
What do you mean?
Like, it's more intimate. It's
funnier. Yeah. I love.
Plus, we've already heard this act.
Yeah. I'm hoping it's a little. I think he was just working through some things, like different material. But, you know, he had that conversation today too about if you are presenting to, like, a crowd, like, maybe 50% of the people are actually, like, true diehard fans who have heard the material and the jokes before. But ideally, there are people there that have never heard you before. And, you know, maybe they're bringing a friend or something, and that's us. I mean, we're bringing two people with us. Have they heard Bert before?
Mm-mm.
So we've got two people coming that...
Then you run the risk, like, what if it's not?
Oh, I know. I'm nervous.
So I was looking when I looked at the time, because we were trying to figure out what time it started. I clicked on the thing, and it was on Facebook, and there was a bunch of comments like, oh, I saw him. Like, I love his podcast, but he's not very good live. I was like,
what?
Yeah.
What? He's great live. Yeah. I was not breathing multiple times at the Comedy Central, and the same for, and we got to meet him at Comedy Central, or Comedy Off Broadway. I don't always say Comedy Central, the Comedy Club. And then, same way, I mean, he told a couple stories that just made me not, I couldn't catch my breath. Like, I laughed so hard. So,
yeah, he's not a joke teller, no, he's a storyteller.
And I love that. Like, that's my favorite style
of like comedy. Him, like, Joey Diaz.
It's natural, and my English teacher heart just enjoys it so much. It's such a cool craft to be able to tell a story and to figure out, like, I would love the evolution of how they've probably had to work with a story to
flesh it out and make it funny.
To, like, what part do you keep and what detail do you not keep? And that's why I think I'm much better with writing than I am with speaking, because I need a lot of time to work through something before I retell it. Whether I'm trying to be funny or not, just I know that language is harder for me when it's spoken than when I have worked it and written it out. Whereas you are much more comfortable and casual, just
impromptu.
Yeah.
I don't always say the best things, but I get my point across.
Sometimes.
And that, my friends, is just an hour-long conversation between me and Abby.
Yeah.
We hope you enjoyed it.
Yep.
Click that share button, tell a friend, leave us a review.
Ellis, I know a couple of times I pulled away from the microphone, and I'm highly aware of that, and I just want to tell you I'm sorry.
He's an audiophile.
He's going to get so
also,
pissed at me.
Also, when we addressed that with him
in person,
we heard from his wife that you listen to people that scream. That's why they don't sound the same.
We don't scream.
This is just a good conversation amongst friends. So, yeah. Do that. Follow us on all of our social medias. Blow them up.
I'm going to share the podcast first this
week. Yeah, she didn't even share it this week.
I'm going to share the podcast first this week. Don't start with me.
I will hold my breath. So, for those spring breakers, enjoy your spring break.
Yay!
The only thing we got is going to see Bert. Abby wants to plant a garden. We'll see.
To be continued.
I needed to plant tulips first. But thank you guys so much. Abigail, I love you.
I love you.
Until next week, goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Close Enough.
Leave us a like on our Facebook page and follow us on Instagram at Close Enough Pod.
Consider giving us a share and review on whatever platform you found us on.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.